Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm Trevor Hankins.
You're on the air with Power Squared. This week we're going to talk about an anime series that the you two of you have watched recently, Kaiji.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a long... Is there a longer name than that, or is it just how we know it?
Yeah, so... It's collectively Kaiji. Season 1 is Kaiji Ultimate Survivor, and Season 2 is Kaiji Against All Rules.
Okay. So, how did you guys find out about Kaiji?
Well, when Squid Game came out, we weren't able to... We didn't watch it, partly because we...
Don't have a Netflix.
Yeah, don't have a Netflix. But...
We're rebels.
But, we did see people talk about other death game series that have some similarities, and one of them was Kaiji. So we had some interest in watching Kaiji, but we had to wait for Sentai Filmworks to have a good sale on the Blu-ray because
right.
It was expensive.
Yes.
So then we finally got it. We found the time recently to actually watch it, and we quickly became one of our favorite anime.
Okay.
I will note that this is they did recently dub part one, but Ultimate Survivor, but this is sub only because that was before they dubbed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Some people we know, like Rachel, likes to read her anime. Do you guys, did that, you know, is that just another layer that you have to get through, or is that, you know, how did that work for you?
Well, generally, if something is just subtitled, it's more like I'm tolerating the subs. Because I generally prefer dubs, but we decided to charge ahead with the sub because it seemed unlikely that after 15 years they would dub it, and guess what they did while
yeah.
we were watching it. The dub is also only on High Dive, so we didn't want to have a subscription just to watch that. So
okay.
I would watch it if they released it outside of High Dive.
And High Dive is
Sentai Filmworks streaming service.
Okay. Just in case people are wondering,
right?
Because I was dry new. Did you ever have to like stop the read the whole subtitle, or you know what I mean? Sometimes they can go kind of fast sometimes.
There were actually a few times where we had to like run it back a little bit to make sure we caught the subtitle.
Yeah, like in part two, there were a couple points where they're saying the name of the person depicted on the bill, and we got hung up on reading the name.
There's a name we weren't familiar with, so we had to like it took us longer to process than
that can be a problem. I know you guys were laughing at times and you seemed to really enjoy parts of it.
Yes.
So obviously you got past the subtitle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is this based on a manga, or is this an original?
Yes, it's based on a long-running and still-going manga by Fukumoto.
Yeah.
I forget his first name. Is it
possibly on the box?
Nobuyuki Fukumoto.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
So is it still running, the series?
Yeah, the manga is currently on part 6.
Okay. So this would be 1 and 2 parts?
Yeah, the manga, the anime adapts parts 1 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to explain what Kaiji is about. Kaiji is about Kaiji Ito, who is
this guy with the triangle nose.
Kaiji is a gambling addict. He's kind of a outcast of society, and he co-signed a loan with someone, and that other person kind of skipped out on paying.
Okay.
So Kaiji was forced to pay this like millions of yen loan.
Yes.
And he wouldn't have been able to pay it, so to try and so he has to do these series of he ends up doing a series of gambles to try and pay off the debt.
Right.
And the first gamble is restricted rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
And he and like dozens of other people in his situation are on a ship called the Espoir for 4 hours, and they have to clear the game to attempt to clear their debt.
Okay, so what is restricted rock, paper, scissors?
It's like rock, paper, it's the rules of rock, paper, scissors, but you are restricted in how many times you can use rock, paper, or
I see.
Rock, paper, or scissors, because you get 12 cards, four of each hand.
Okay, so you're selecting a card, and that's what you're going to do, so you've played the card.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you also have to... You not only have to go through all of your cards, you also have to... everyone gets 3 stars.
Yeah.
Anyway, everyone gets stars that they have to gamble on the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So if you win, you get the stars.
Yeah, I think everyone starts with 3 star.
Yeah, and you have to have at least three. You have to have at least 3 stars
at the end.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's a little tickle.
You have to have at least 3 stars at the end to continue. But there's another twist where you have to borrow 2 to 10 million yen. And you have to
your war funds.
Yeah, so you also have to pay back your loan by the time you are done.
It sounds like it's stacked against you.
Kind of. And the interest accumulates every, I think it's 10 minutes.
Yeah. And if I recall correctly, the whole thing is restricted to, there is a time limit of 4 hours.
Okay. Yeah. And they constantly track how many copies of each card are left.
Okay. Wow.
To ensure fairness.
Wow. So that's it. That's not like the stack. It's stacked against you. The cards are stacked against you. So things don't go well for him over and over again, I assume.
Yeah.
In at least the first part.
Well, what's interesting about Kaiji is it's realistic because he loses as often as he wins.
Yes.
And even during the restricted rock, paper, scissors game, he manages to figure out this strategy that is working for him, and then there's a new obstacle that prevents that from working, so he has to adapt and try a new strategy. And it really draws you in because the story really draws you in because it highlights the psychological aspect of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And with restricted rock, paper, scissors, that game, rock, paper, scissors is already a psychological game, like, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
So add that to add the psychology of gambling on top of that, and
yeah, it's a terrible addiction that people do have.
Yeah. Yes. And it highlights how it doesn't shy away from how much a gambling addiction can mess up someone's life.
Right.
Like, these are people who are so desperate that they are willing to, like, risk their lives winning a rock, paper, scissors game to clear their debt.
So the guy that skipped out on the loan is free and clear?
No, he actually shows up on the ship.
Okay, good.
Yes.
But isn't it his debt to pay off?
Well, Kaiji co-signed the loan, so it's also his debt.
That's why you don't co-sign loans.
Actually, that's one lesson we took from Kaiji is don't co-sign a loan.
Right. Yeah, because you're kind of responsible for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should mention the debt collectors are the Tei group.
Okay.
Yeah. And
with restricted rock, paper, scissors, the penalty for not having enough stars to like survive it. Quote. The penalty for that is you are sent to a labor.
Okay.
Underground labor camp.
Yeah, you have to work hard labor.
Okay. And that's where he ends up at some point, so I recall. I've only seen like a couple of episodes passing through the room.
Right. So part one, rock, paper, scissors, restricted rock, paper, scissors is not the only gamble.
Uh-huh.
It's still a tense gamble.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strategy in that, yeah.
Yes. And then after he manages to survive three other gambles, part two, he still owes the Tei group money, so he is captured and put into the underground labor camp to pay off his debt. And then part two has two gambles, one of which is supposed to help Kaiji get outside so then he can do another gamble to clear his debt and the debts of others.
Right. And as I recall, the sort of inside this work camp, it's sort of again stacked against you to get out.
Yeah.
Because the foreman is basically corrupt.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the foreman one of the, I'll say, prisoners, or is he like, you know, or is he work for the company?
I think the foreman in charge of their groups are also debtors.
Okay. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like
it's also
job.
In their it's also in their best interest to gather money to clear their debt.
Right. Yeah, the foreman seems very corrupt. A little bit I've seen.
Yeah. But what's also interesting about Kaiji is Kaiji's character development. Because he is a gambling addict through and through.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change because you can't really beat an addiction one night. But and on the S4, he's very naive. So he gets easily duped and put into an even worse situation. But he still understands that teamwork is how you can survive these gambles. And so as the series goes on, he's more discerning about who he trusts, but he still trusts people to work with him to help get themselves out of the hole they've dug for themselves.
Okay.
What makes Kaiji a compelling character, which we see even on the S-bar, is no matter what happens to him, he still holds on to his humanity.
Okay.
Like, he'd easily have become like cold and detached, but the fact that he doesn't makes him an interesting character.
Okay.
There's a moment in part one that highlights that really well. After the S-bar, the second gamble is the human derby.
Okay.
It's kind of like betting on like horse racing.
Yeah, right.
But
rich people are betting on the debtors as they cross a balance beam.
This,
okay. Rich people. Okay.
In order for the participants are there's 12 people at a time, but there's only like four beams.
Uh-huh.
So on his group, Kaiji went second. There's a moment where, in order to like win that, he would have to like push the person in front of him, but he actively refuses.
Okay. Yeah. That shows humanity, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so the way Kaiji is also one of the more is one of the more tense experiences that we've had with an anime. It was like the way it draws you in and pulls you into the tension, you kind of feel like you're there with them.
That's very successful storytelling.
Yeah. Yes. And then you end up feeling a lot of the same emotions Kaiji does.
Okay.
Even you're kind of going along with sometimes impulsive decisions, and you still feel like the same. You still kind of feel bad for him when it doesn't work out.
Do you feel like, oh, don't say that, don't do that? So, but eventually, he turns things around, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know how much of the story you want to tell, but
try not to spoil too much.
He's not a total loser.
Yeah. And he's actually, when the gambling is really high stakes, he shows a surprising amount of like intelligence, even if he's not the brightest guy himself. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So how'd you let's talk a little bit about the artwork. How did you guys feel about that?
Well, Kaiji has a ugly art style compared to a lot of other anime, but I got used to it pretty quickly. So.
Now, again, I was just passing through the room when this was playing, but sometimes it looked like he wasn't. I know one of the things to do with anime is you make the characters distinctive.
Yeah.
I guess the silhouette's supposed to be distinctive.
Yes.
But it seems like sometimes there were characters that kind of looked like him or looked like each other, you know? Again, just is it passing through the room?
Right. Well, with the Teia Corporation, the black suits intentionally look pretty similar.
Okay.
Because they're just supposed to be, like, faceless goons.
Right.
But there are, like, outside of that, there are other people with, like, triangle noses or...
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But,
like, kind of squarish heads.
Yeah, but, you're still able to tell them apart pretty well. A lot of it has to do, also has to do with, like, clothing choices.
Right, okay. Again, as I said, I was just, you know, walking through the room.
Yeah.
They're kind of similar.
Kaiji himself actually dresses differently between parts.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I don't like it when somebody never changes their outfit.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. They're still wearing, you know, blue jeans and no shirt, you know. Okay, so obviously you liked it enough to start watching a spinoff?
Yeah.
We started watching a spinoff series called Mr. Tonegawa Metal Management Blues.
Okay.
Now that we were watching dubbed because we had the option to.
Okay.
This actually got dubbed before Kaiji did.
Yeah, sure. But we waited to, and we actually got Tonegawa first because it was really cheap during a sale. But we knew it spoiled Kaiji, so we had to watch Kaiji first.
Okay.
Now Mr. Tonegawa is about Tonegawa.
From he's a prominent character in part one of Kaiji.
Yeah, so he's the second in command for Teiai.
Okay.
Underneath the president. And that's if you go in, you should not go into Mr. Tonegawa expecting more of Kaiji.
Okay.
So it's more of a workplace comedy.
Yeah. It's a workplace comedy that's kind of about the logistics of setting up the, like, proposing and setting up the death game. So, like, we saw the first five episodes, but part of it is, like, they draw comedy from, like, the meetings about doing this, and I need to
increase the morale so they like me, or there's recently it was like, I have a PowerPoint presentation about restricted rock, paper, scissors, and then he Tonegawa spends an episode trying to give the proposal to his boss. But he has to be in a good mood.
So what does this company do?
It's besides
humiliate people.
Well, I guess it would be terrible to describe it as a criminal organization.
Okay.
They're loan sharks.
Okay, so yes. They get you into debt, and then they kind of humiliate you with these games and stuff, and keep you further in debt. And...
Yeah. The death games are, or the gambles, I should say, are more for like the
people who don't pay off their debts when they're supposed to.
Yes, but also they exist more to please the boss's twisted idea of humanity.
So when they're down in the ground working, what are they doing?
They are building an underground, I guess you could say, bomb shelter.
Okay.
But the idea is that when life on the surface is bad, we have this...
So they're counting on an apocalyptic event to happen or something?
If an apocalyptic event happens, no matter how rich you are, your money will be meaningless. So this is an underground place where we will have all the power.
I see. So they're playing
something
ahead.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. For an event we hope never happens.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know you guys also like the music.
Yes.
We actually liked it so much. We imported the soundtracks.
This is from Japan,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we imported them from Japan. We used CD Japan.
Right, okay. Little plug.
CD Japan is a... Not an ad, but CD
I'm
Japan is good for importing
Japanese
stuff like... Yeah, Japanese movies and music, and I think also books.
Okay.
What really helps is that they ship internationally.
Yeah.
Because I think I used CD Japan before because I was trying to import something and I was looking for someone who would actually do it internationally, and I found CD Japan. So.
All right, that's cool. So tell us about the music. Who did it?
Hideki Taniuchi.
Yes.
Who is one of the composers for Death Note.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is how we're familiar with his work.
I had my little L doll.
He hasn't composed in a long time, like a decade, because reasons.
Okay.
But the score like stood out to us even while we were watching part one, like as early as the S-bar. There were certain tracks that stuck with us. And we're like, this music's really good. I want to hear it by itself. So while we were watching, while we were watching part one, we got the soundtracks for parts one and two.
All right.
Yes.
Because we liked it enough to know that we
would like two.
Yeah.
And you, of course, didn't listen to two until you watched the second part, right?
It ended up. It kind of ended up that way.
Yes.
I was just musing. I didn't have any knowledge. Okay, so you like the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're just the titles, I assume, are in Japanese.
Yes.
Is there a particular track that really sticks with you?
There's like from Kaiji. Ultimate Survivor soundtrack. I remember liking Green Man Race track. Yeah.
So the songs
also
are
like Memories.
So the song titles are in English?
Yes, although there are some that are in Japanese.
Okay.
Part two, I remember liking Numa, Dice. Hyper.
Alright.
And then there is also the Zalas. You guys,
I wanted to get into that actually. A sound effect that Kaiji will see a lot is Zala.
Okay. What is it?
It's a sound effect to create an uneasy atmosphere.
Okay.
And it's used to great effect in Kaiji. You also hear voices saying Zala to highlight it.
Now, is the music, would you categorize it as orchestrated, electronic, rock? What's the music? Or is it a bunch of genres?
It's actually mixed genres, although we noticed that the Against All Rules soundtrack sounded more electronic.
Okay.
These two, it's weird, because mirrored from where I'm looking. these two soundtracks have, like, a different vibe that they sound like they belong together.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how to say that.
and they work with the story, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not like, you're like, that music doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I guess one other thing I want to mention about Kaiji is the announcer.
Narrator.
Yeah, the narrator. That's it.
Okay.
The narrator, if you will, he's kind of like a hype man for Kaiji. But it adds a certain charm to the story.
Okay.
And the narrator is also good at explaining some things, like about the different antagonists that Kaiji comes across, and also highlighting or emphasizing the emotional the emotions of the scene. And it's kind of hard to imagine Kaiji without that narrator.
Now, is the narrator in the other show at all?
Yes.
Okay. Same narrator or different?
Well, I don't know because we're watching the dub.
Okay.
And the dub narrator in Tonegawa really emphasizes the comedy aspect. There's a very different vibe.
He kind of... In some ways, when somebody dubs something, you're really reliant on the dub to tell you, you know, they could change the story slightly if they wanted to. You wouldn't necessarily know, right?
Yeah. No, we have actually seen some clips of the Kaiji dub out of curiosity. And the dub narrator for Kaiji is the same as the narrator from Tonegawa. That narrator gives a different vibe as well.
Okay.
But I feel like I would... have a better opinion if I actually saw Kaiji dubbed as a whole, because I remember thinking, like, with Silent, going back to like Silent Hill, with Silent Hill 2, when it got, for example, when that got redubbed for HD collection, when I heard just like short clips comparing the voices, I thought, oh, I'm not gonna like the redub. And then when I actually played the game all the way through, I was like, oh, I actually like the dub voice, the dub performances better.
Like, better than the original PS2 English voice.
Yeah. And in that case, it was more of an example. It was more of like, what do you have a preference for, like, which voice sounds more fitting? Right. But so, tying it back into Kaiji, I feel like I'd have a stronger opinion one way or the other if I actually watched the dub more than just like short clips.
Right. Yeah, because the voice can impact things as well.
Yeah.
I will say, from what clips, from what little we did see of the Kaiji dub, it's it has some of the same voice cast as Tonegawa.
Yeah.
Probably the same company that dubbing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Alright.
After watching Kaiji Part 2, the show became one of our favorite anime, because it was very, very good ending. It stuck the landing, and the way he completes the last gamble felt very cathartic.
Yes.
despite all the, like, slow build-up to it, it was a really good payoff. So, unfortunately, it's been like over a decade by now, and it's not likely that any more of Kaiji would get animated. I got the impression that one reason the Kaiji anime existed was because of the live action movies in Japan.
Okay. There are three live action movies. The first two also adapt parts one and two, but the third movie was original content by Fukumoto.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's not likely we'll get another season unless they have to promote something. But part three did get adapted, kind of, in a pachinko machine. Well, it's natural that Kaiji has pachinko machines.
Yes.
Themed so, after it.
So it's it tells the story in pachinko.
there's, if you do well, you see more of the story.
That's weird.
And people actually
fortunately compilations of the pachinko footage exist on YouTube.
So we kind of watched it that way, and that's the closest we're gonna get to a part three adaptation.
How long would that have? How long did that last? I mean, what's the length of that adaptation?
If you just watch all the clips, it's like a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
It still felt like Kaiji.
So what happens? What would happen? I mean, he has this cathartic moment. And he's, I assume, you know, okay. What happens in three?
I'm not entirely sure, but he ends up having to play a variation of Mahjong.
Okay.
Where they play Mahjong, but the twist is that players start with a hand. I don't know the rules of Mahjong. Right. They start with a hand that's one tile away from winning.
Okay.
That's by design, and they have to figure out and if someone discards a tile that would give the opponent the winning tile, the player who would need that tile automatically wins.
Right.
So you're always one tile away from winning or losing, so there's a psychological gamble of element of like, which tile should I discard? Is this going to help?
So on a pachinko machine, it was telling you much. All right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gambling in there. All right.
And, part two, one of the gambles involves an unbeatable pachinko machine, and
there's actually a pachinko machine based on the pachinko machine in part two.
You're popular. Yeah. I'm sure that's what happened. All right. So, anything else you want to talk about with it?
I think that kind of covers it.
One thing I wanted to mention with the Tonogawa dub is Tonogawa still uses the Zala Zala effect, but in the English dub, since that's not an actual English sound effect,
right.
They found and the dub uses an equivalent.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to get used to hearing the equivalent after 52 episodes of hearing Zala over and over.
Part of the joy of watching something from another country.
Yeah,
right. I'm still liking the dub.
Sound like you do.
So I think it about covers it with Kaiji.
Okay. So until next time, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
I'm Trevor Hankins.
And you've been on the air with Power Squared.